Listen to the word of God as it comes from a letter written to the church at Corinth in the 12th chapter. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For it is one spirit in which we are baptized into, and into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as God chose. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And those are part of one body we think are less honorable, we clothe them with greater honor. And those less respectable members we treat with greater respect. Whereas one more respectable member, we do not need this. But God has arranged the body, giving it greater honor to the inferior, that there may be no dissension within the body. If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm starting to get settled. When I first got here, my animals did not make the transition well. My dog, Boo Radley, could not walk. My dog, Dorothy, was not eating. My cat, Clarissa, was hiding in the closet. And in a week's time, Boo Radley is up and walking. Dorothy has started eating. Clarissa has come out of the closet. I said, embrace your catness. Come out. And I'm getting to know the city. And you know the thing that I'm most excited about is I live in a place where there's an airport. It sounds small, but in Manhattan, Kansas, I had to drive 2.5 hours to get to the airport. And then you have to park and get on a bus and get to the terminal. And then you have to go through security. You could easily have to leave 4 hours before the flight. So there's an airport here. And I like to fly. I'm not afraid of flying. But one thing, I don't know about the other members of the clergy, but whenever I go on vacation, I don't want to hear about people's problems. I turn the clergy light off. And my prayer is, God, give us a safe trip. But please, please don't put me next to a talker. And whatever you do, do not put me next to an evangelical talker. I don't play well with those people. I was flying from Washington State, Seattle, to Kansas City. I get on the flight, and this woman shows up, big hair, red lipstick, and said to me, well, praise the Lord. I thought, God just slit my throat now. She sat next to me, and every other line was praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, clearly, we all need to praise God more often. I start my morning on the front porch giving thanks for what I have. But enough is enough. And everything was praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then she started speaking badly about my president. I voted for him twice in a red state, and I informed her that she needed to back off. And then she became racist. And I told her she was talking about my friends, and she needed to back off. And then she got homophobic. So I looked down. I'd given her enough warnings. I looked down, and I looked at my invisible What Would Jesus Do bracelet. According to Daniel Tosh, I should have lit her on fire and sent her to hell. But I couldn't get a lighter through security. So I did what any sensible Presbyterian would do. I ordered a double scotch and soda. Now, won't say that I did, and I won't say that I didn't take advantage of the turbulence that was coming. And I sneezed, and I ended up baptizing her in the name of the Christ and God and the Spirit, so that when she got off and met her little Christian white family, she would reek of alcohol. Of course, I apologized profusely. Of course I did. And the color of her face was just magnet red. And then I reminded her that of course she would forgive me. After all, we both served the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our personal sins and forgave us so that we would forgive others. She didn't talk to me for the rest of the flight. And some people say there's no God. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. The scripture today was written by the Apostle Paul. He had founded this church in a place called Corinth. And it has been called the church controversial. They were ripping each other apart, assuming some had greater spiritual importance. And what Paul did, I think, beautifully, was he compared them to the body of Christ. They suffered from a disease that a lot of churches suffer from these days. It's called holier-than-thou-itis, and it's deadly. And Paul was saying, no, you're not more important than someone else. In fact, everyone is needed. Everyone is needed. All your small gifts bring and help the body of Christ, because that's the way the body of Christ grows. Even the smallest church can do miraculous things. I served a church in Harrington, Kansas. It was a small church. If we had 20 people, we felt like we were busting out the seams. But they were faithful, and they asked me if I would come and preach for them for 6 weeks, and I did. And then they asked me if I would stay for 6 months, and I did. And that turned into 7.5 years. But this little group of people were dynamic. And one day, I received a phone call from the funeral director telling me that there was a woman who had lived in Kansas City and had been a member of that church, and she died and wanted to know if I would help do the graveside service. He said, it'll probably be you and me and 2 people from Kansas City. Well, I called the matriarch of the church. Her name was Dovey, Dovey Rule. She wasn't even 4 minutes tall. And she'd been a member of that church for 50 years, and she didn't know this woman who died. So I prepared to do the graveside service, and 2 minutes before we were going to start, 2 cars pull up. 10 people from the congregation showed up. And I said, Dovey, what are you doing? And she goes, she was a member of our church. We didn't know her, but she was a member of our church, and our church should be present. Now you are the body of Christ, and with it, the many, many members. I don't sense that this congregation at all suffers from holier-than-thou-itis. I don't get that sense at all. What I do know is that we need all of your gifts. We need you to serve. We need you to help where you can. And I don't know what your gifts are, so I can't tell you. I need you to tell me. I can only do this, but I'll do it. Some of you of a certain age, around my age, when I was growing up in Perry, I used to watch Captain Kangaroo. And one of the stories that he would always read was called Stone Soup. Do you remember it? It was about these guys who were traveling, and they were hungry, and no one would feed them. So they put this cauldron in the middle of the town, filled it with water, and made soup. And they said, you know, this is pretty good, but it'd be better if we had some carrots. The woman goes, oh, I've got some carrots. I'll bring them. And she added the carrots. They tasted and said, it'd be even better if we had some potatoes. And someone brought potatoes. And on, they brought what they had, and the whole town ate. It's like our potlucks. When we all bring our little thing, then there's so much food that everyone eats, and hopefully some of the leftovers are given to the skinny preacher to take home for the week. We need you. God needs you. This congregation needs you. The church universal needs you. And this community certainly needs you. There are so many people who are hurting in the world, and probably a lot in this neighborhood where this church is. And we are the voice of hope for them. But no one can do it, and a small group of people in this church can't run the church. We need all of you. So in conclusion, I will share with you a writing by one of my favorite poets. His name is John Donne. He wrote in the late 1500s, early 1600s. He had lost several children. He was sick, and he wrote a number of poems or meditations about how much we need each other. I'll try to be inclusive in the language. He said, when one person is baptized, that affects me. For they are grafted into the body in which I am a part, and Christ is the head. And when one person dies, that too affects me. All humankind is one volume and one author. And when one person dies, that chapter is not torn out, but is translated into a better language. And each chapter must be so translated. God employs several translators. Some pieces are translated by age, some by war, some by sickness, some by justice. But God's hand is in every translation. Until that day when God will gather up all of our scattered leaves to that one library where every volume shall lie open to one another. You are the body of Christ. We need you to be the members that you are, to step up and offer your service to this church and to the world. Now you are the body of Christ. Amen.